White Eagle. The material for the podcast comes from the book Spiritual Unfoldment 1, and it comes through the channel Grace Cook. Grace passed from this particular incarnation in 1979 after over 40 years of spiritual work. Currently, there are others channeling the energy known as White Eagle, most notably Johnette Crowley. You can link to the numerous White Eagle Grace Cook books from the books page of the SonsOfTheLawOfOne.com. And now, White Eagle. As we commune with Spirit, we open our hearts to love. We know that love is the way to spiritual unfoldment. And therefore we pray to God, our Father and Mother, that we may become love. And in becoming more loving, we shall become wiser and so stronger in the power of God. May this holy trinity of love, wisdom, and power become manifest in our hearts and lives. Amen. The fundamental purpose of your life is that you may find truth. Truth which will be unveiled to you by your own inner self. As we search for this truth which lies buried deep within, the barriers erected by the outer self will vanish, and we shall become free, free to hold communion with those we love in the beyond, free to contact the cosmic rays of life force and healing, free to use them in the service of others, free to become en rapport with those beings who minister to humanity from the Spirit. The pathway which climbs the mountainside to the heavenly summit is long and steep, and until men and women obtain a glimpse of the glory which awaits them, they are in travail on the plains of materialism. They suffer pain, sickness, isolation, limitation. They remain heirs to fear, resentment, anxiety, and are afflicted by conflicts and wars. But no one need wait until they are freed from the flesh to realize their happiness and their true being. Indeed, unless men and women learn to seek the Spirit while they are still on earth, they will not find complete freedom or joy merely by discarding the physical body. A glorious future awaits each soul, but it entails hard work, although even hard work can be very interesting. For instance, if you love music and long to express yourself through music, it becomes a joy to practice, to acquire mastery over your instrument. If you are wholly interested in something worthwhile, you do not mind taking pains, nor do you count the cost of attainment. So it should be with this work spent upon your soul. The path which all must tread, leading to the temple of the soul, is the same. The outer mind, the normal thinking apparatus, must be slowed down. You cannot hope to contact the source of truth within if your mind is full of unimportant details of earthly life. This is where you have to learn discrimination, because earthly life makes so many claims. Usually all of the attention of the individual goes on to its everyday needs. So many unimportant things assume great importance in the earthly mind. But if you can resolutely keep your attention upon what is taking place on the spiritual side of your life and try to register impressions from the higher self, you will be able to overcome that insistent torturing of the earthly mind. We advise you not to make a point of suppressing the lower aspect of your life, but of encouraging the beautiful. We advise you to encourage the spiritual expansion of your real self in daily contacts until it becomes a natural unfoldment, a natural development of the soul which has been living for countless years. We wish to inspire you with the cultivation of that life which aspires to the realization of God through the channel of beautiful music, literature, the taste for harmonious and beautiful color, the taste for beautiful form and artistry, the taste for the beauties of Mother Earth, and love for the glorious brown earth, so that you want to scoop it up in your hands and put your nose into it and breathe into your being the God within it. You are breathing and loving God as you scoop up that brown earth. And you put your nose into the rose and smell its sweetness. You smell the new mown hay or the fresh night air, the glorious rain. Cultivate that sense of loving the rain instead of being irritable with the rain. Do you see? The idea is to get so into harmony with these natural forces that you become attuned to the infinite, so that you become more and more aware of God. The scent and perfume of flowers and trees, all the sweet perfumes of nature and the glorious skies, whatever their color, blue or gray, and the glorious silver moon and the starlit skies, the warm sunshine, the music of the wind in the trees. Again, whether that wind is soft and gentle or whether it is strong and boisterous, can you hear that glorious Om and feel the response of your soul? So your vibrations quicken and you are lifted up until you become one with the spirits of the air. You are released from the physical body. You are no longer an imprisoned soul. You are one with the spirits of nature, God's children, free. This is all spiritual development, spiritual unfoldment. It means learning to release yourself of your own will, to release yourself from the limitations of the physical body. It is a gift which many have yet to unfold. It is a gift within every one of you, and one which God intended you to develop. It is the wings of the Spirit unfolding the wings of the soul. This is one path, one way of unfoldment, through becoming at one with nature in a natural way. Not necessarily through meditation, but in a sense through action, through contacting the outer things, yet awakening the inner senses to an appreciation of the outer beauty of these outer things of life. It will bring greater health to your physical body and an expansion of mentality and an expansion of consciousness and spiritual realization. Other souls can acquire a much greater sense of spiritual awareness, the awareness of spiritual life, through the mind, through meditation, perhaps through spending a long time in meditation and opening the centers to the inflow of the heavenly light. Often the Western mind seeks more the way of action and the Eastern the way of meditation. To those who feel drawn to the full meditative way, it is very beautiful and needs to be carefully undertaken. The balance must be held. Yet a certain amount of meditation is absolutely necessary for the unfoldment of spiritual understanding, spiritual powers. Meditation, as we mean it, is an attunement, a becoming attuned to the infinite spirit. So many human beings find it difficult to center their thoughts upon the object they are following. There is a need for thought, though, in controlling the human mind. For quite a number of minds that are controlled, neat and orderly, may become narrow or constricted. It is a very good practice to meditate each day upon a certain subject or object. Daily meditation, gathering together the soul force, makes a focal point within the soul from which will shine the wisdom which is stored up in the soul. Meditation helps us to realize the age-long self and makes manifest the radiation of God, which will shine upon all creatures. Thus you are doing good to yourselves and others. Thirdly, meditation brings the power of concentration and mind control, which is just the very beginning of the use of what is known in occult circles as white magic. White magic is the power of love, which is harnessed and used by an initiate, disciple, and pupils when they are sufficiently advanced. Overcome the limitations of matter. Heal the sick in mind and body. Raise the dead to life. White magical power is the power of love, the Christ love, asking for nothing for itself, only for the good of the whole, for good to manifest in the life form. Spiritual unfoldment can never bring joy if it is sought for purely selfish motives, or for love of sensation, or from curiosity, but only because we realize that through our becoming healthy in body and radiant in spirit, we are actually assisting all to become healthy and radiant. The underlying purpose behind spiritual training of any kind should be selfless and altruistic. Patience will be required, and also the realization that you may never be called upon to do your work before the public, to impress others, or win recognition or reward. Indeed, most of you will labor quietly behind the scenes. Even a life tied to domesticity can be truly creative. Be very sure that all are placed in the exact position in earth life where they are most needed and where they will have opportunities for doing the most good. The unknown man or woman may contribute more to the advancement of the human race than one whose name is on everyone's lips. The whole purpose of spiritual unfoldment is for the individual, so to train him or herself that he or she becomes a more powerful center from which the love of God can radiate. Then he or she no longer hankers after the wonderful things that the I can do. Instead, the individual desires only that through it a greater love may be breathed forth into life. The pupil who becomes self-centered, self-seeking, who desires spiritual knowledge and gifts because they will give him or her greater power, loses all spiritual quality. It is like a pail with holes in the bottom. The more you try to fill it, if it has holes in it, it will very quickly empty itself. So the pupil who desires gifts from a selfish motive will never attain them, because all the knowledge that can ever be accumulated from books and even from teachers will just pour out the bottom of the bucket when the quality of consciousness in the pupil is not good, pure. A point we would emphasize in spiritual unfoldment and in the preparation of the healer is the need for a healthy mind together with a healthy body in those who would be channels for the light. Any practice which depletes the body, which causes the mind to run along unhealthy channels, must be put aside. Correct spiritual development will help to create health, and in its turn a healthy mind will help in the unfoldment of the spiritual qualities and faculties. Remember that we are all both receiving and broadcasting stations, and while we are able to respond to influences and impressions from the invisible planes of life, we also react to worldly influences and to the vibrations set in motion by the thoughts and lives of others. We often allow ourselves to become overshadowed or obsessed by fear, anger, hatred, and all manner of passions, as well as by bodily ills. We do not always understand why we feel as we do, and although we try hard, we cannot overthrow our unknown adversary. Often you are upset and disturbed because so many things are awaiting your attention, and you work too hard in your mind. You do a piece of work 100 times mentally when you need actually do it only once. You say to yourself again and again, "I must do so-and-so," but so-and-so does not get done. Train yourself then to meet the work of the moment when it comes, and quietly do it. Do you see the importance of this quiet acceptance of what comes along and doing it at the moment and finishing with it? It is better to put any task or problem right out of your mind until the opportunity comes to deal with it. But do you get out of the habit of worrying, worrying, worrying with little pinpricks? In the majority of people, the mind is like an untidy rag bag. It is not easy to receive impressions from the higher world into this conglomeration of odds and ends. If the brain is stuffed tight, the rays of spiritual light, which must penetrate, are rebuffed. They may persist until at last, in some quiet moment, penetration is effected. But if your mind be crammed, how can you receive impressions from the higher worlds or become aware of the angel at your side? Be in command. Be the master. This is what we all are working for: mastery. A master is never disturbed or in a hurry. We find no disorder in a master's surroundings. Having become master of him or herself, he or she naturally has control over the world which is round about, and so never suffers ill health, never has a headache or a cold or any ailment of that nature. You will say that we should not expect any one of you to reach this standard. No, dear ones, none of you is a master, but this is the ideal towards which you strive. Long ago, when people entered religious communities to devote their lives to God, it was thought a sin to fall ill. In another life in North America, we can well remember that brother elders knew no sickness and did not leave their earthly bodies because of disease, but only when their particular incarnation had drawn to a close and the time had come for a period of passivity and absorption in the life beyond. Then the spirit would withdraw from the body into a higher world for refreshment after labor. As an ancient mystery teaching says, we go from earth labor to refreshment in the heavens, and after refreshment, we return again to labor on earth. Look forward to a time when you will become whole and healthy. It is your father mother's wish that this should be so. And there is no reason why this cannot be attained during your present life. Breathing has the effect of harmonizing the channel to the divine, to God, to the innermost, the center within. By slowing down the breathing and breathing the God life, the whole being is harmonized and the divine energy is brought into being. And as the projection goes forth, let it do so on a breath of God, your breath and divine energy. You breathe out and project the breath of God, the divine breath to bless and to heal. Correct breathing is not only about breathing in, it is about breathing out. You may not think you do, but many people breathe only with the top of their lungs, leaving an accumulation of poison in the lower part of their lungs. This may go on for a whole lifetime. You should learn to breathe deeply, but you won't do it without application. You must breathe slowly, quietly, harmoniously, gradually getting the breath deeper until you are filling and emptying the lower part of the lungs and expanding the ribs as you breathe. A good way to sleep is to lie on the left side with the left hand under the left cheek. This will automatically cause you to inhale through the right nostril. You will help by putting the right hand under the left arm because there is a nerve there which, when pressed, helps with this breathing. Sleep in this position and you will automatically be breathing in the solar energies and thus breathing to your physical body and all subtler bodies, the aspiring atoms of life. We would help you to raise your consciousness to the spheres where harmony, truth, and love prevail. The whole purpose of the unfoldment of these inner powers, which all men and women possess in greater or lesser degree, is that you may become aware of spirit and be able to receive impressions of harmony and truth from the spirit world and the spirit people. Truth is a spiritual law, a reality reflecting the law of God. But we have to prepare ourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually before we can reflect the truth which exists in the spiritual world. Spiritual law is eternally true. While the pronouncements of science change almost yearly, so that what is considered true today will be dismissed and forgotten tomorrow. With spiritual law, there is no change other than continual unfoldment and growth. More and more truth becomes revealed to a human being as his or her inner self grows in awareness, but the law remains constant. Spiritual science is true science, both on earth and in the higher worlds. When a man or woman becomes aware of, practices, and lives these cosmic and spiritual laws, he or she is truly a person of science. First, then, let us understand that spiritual unfoldment of your inner faculties is an altogether scientific process. If physical science will agree to be directed by spiritual science, as someday it will, then some of the secrets enshrined in the ancient wisdom will be restored to humankind. As the spiritual awareness of humankind grows, the veil between the earth and the astral world will gradually thin, and close proximity of the two will become more apparent. Experience such as astral travel will become possible and even common to men and women while they are still in the flesh, exemplifying the unreality of death. As you grow in spirit, a certainty stronger than any conviction obtainable by the study of evidence will grow in your heart until it is part of your very being. The so-called dead have never died. You will know beyond all doubt that your own dead are with you, but your conviction will be based not on proof or evidence of the outer mind, but on an inward awareness from which nothing can shake you. When the quickening of the inborn psychic facilities takes place, difficulties and confusion may arise, often through a person's lack of experience. For this link with the astral may not reach beyond what we are going to call the plane of illusion, or the plane immediately surrounding the earth. Nevertheless, psychic contact with this realm can teach many valuable, though sometimes painful, lessons. One of the most important of these lessons is that of discrimination, or the power to sort out the true from the false. Do not think of the astral planes as being far removed from the earth. In fact, they are so close that many schools of occult thought regard astral life more or less as an extension of life on earth, differing not in kind, but in degree. Thus it will be seen that the influence of those in the astral worlds must extend to those on earth, and that your own thought and feeling must in turn influence and affect the people in the astral world. The inhabitants of the coarser and more degraded astral spheres can reach those of like tastes on earth and thus obtain experience at second hand of sensation once gratified on earth. Many people of the lower astral planes crave to return to physical life to gratify their desires through contact with the earth. But by your wisdom and love, they can be helped, and by helping them, you can in turn assist and protect those on earth whom they would degrade. When the soul leaves the physical body at death, in most cases, it speedily traverses the nearby astral planes. During its journey, all kinds of memories will crowd in upon the soul. The condition is not real, nor should it last long. But if the soul's interest has centered mainly upon material things during its earth life, it will still cling to the illusion of matter after the death of the body, and will therefore take longer to reach the higher worlds of truth and reality. There will come a stage in your development when you will most surely contact this world of illusion, and it will be a subtle and disturbing but ultimately valuable experience. You may receive messages which will appear to you to be reliable, and yet you will eventually be disillusioned and disappointed. Do not be disheartened by these experiences. They are all in the course of your training, and it is better for you to suffer disappointment than to evade the experience altogether. It is a condition of consciousness through which every soul must pass. All of you have the ability to receive impressions and true communications from beings in other worlds. All of you are mediums, in that you can be receptive to the spirit, but the quality of the message received will depend upon the quality of your own soul consciousness. Through this contact with the world of illusion, you will gain the power to recognize truth, to discern the true from the false. The earth life is full of deception, and things and people are not always as they seem. An important part of your spiritual unfoldment is to develop a true sense of discrimination. Messages which appear untrue are not necessarily mischievous in intention. They may be given to you purposely to help you to gain poise and strength. Do not think of them as evil, but learn to take them wisely and with discretion. If your teacher is giving you messages, he or she will be concerned first and foremost with the whole plan of spiritual evolution. Your teacher's love for you is pure and beyond personal limitation. Your teacher's sole thought and ideal is not for one individual alone, but for the good of the whole. Messages which flatter you and promise much of a personal or selfish nature may be sent to test you. In spiritual development, apparently conflicting statements or paradoxes can arise, but ponder carefully all that is said. If statements seem contradictory, try to reconcile them. Truth has always more than one aspect, and many paths lead to God. Therefore, do not be dogmatic. Do not condemn anything or any individual, and let your approach to truth be orderly, systematic, and patient. You all desire to be used by the higher influences, by the guides and teachers of the spiritual life. And although some of you may already know about your guide, you may not realize how you can be used by the elder brethren. You may not understand that your guide is working under the direction of the elder brethren, and that while using you, the elder brethren are also able to assist you in your spiritual growth. When you selflessly desire to be used to inspire, to heal, to guide and bless humanity, you are bound to absorb into your aura the beneficial light of the Spirit. As a servant of the light, the guide will then draw close. And remember that all can be mediums. You may all be used according to your particular gifts. You may be a healer, a teacher, a musician, a writer, an artist. Whatever your contribution to humanity, as you strive to attune yourself to the invisible planes, so you will be used as a channel or a medium for the wise ones in the world beyond. What is the work of your guide? Your guide is your companion and teacher, and works through your higher mind and conscience. You may, as you sit in meditation, ask him or her a question mentally, such as the meaning of some happening which puzzles you. You may not receive an immediate answer, but perhaps when you least expect it, in a few days or even weeks, when your earthly mind is engaged elsewhere, suddenly your answer will come. But you will have to remember not to make unreasonable demands on your guide. Ask as you would ask an earthly teacher, the explanation of some problem, and the answer will come, perhaps not in your time, but in the time of the Spirit. But do not then demand that your guide do the work for you, or expect that your teacher will shoulder your responsibilities. Let us try to distinguish between your guide and other helpers from the spirit world. A helper may be brought by the lords of karma to assist you over a certain stage on your journey. It may be that you have asked for aid, for who has not cried out in anguish, "O God, help me"? God hears your prayer. The lords of karma are ever watchful. Your guardian angel is on duty, and there are other souls in the spirit world and on the astral plane who may desire to pay a debt they owe you from the past, and he or she will come and work for your good as you are climbing the difficult path. Their work completed, they will go back again to their own sphere. Thus you may have many helpers during your life who come at different times to assist you through some particular period, but only one teacher and guide who has you in his or her care and who may be attached to you through a number of lives. The spiritual teacher contacts you at a much higher level than the helpers, who are often described as guides. You receive his or her guidance through the voice of your higher self, sometimes called the voice of God. That still, small voice within can become very strong. It can become for you the voice of your spiritual teacher contacting you on the highest level of your earthly consciousness, or on the highest level that you can attain while imprisoned in the flesh. All that is lovely and pure and true will come through from your higher self, and that is the level on which your spiritual teacher works. At the beginning of your creation, you lay in the heart of the Logos. All truth lies in that simple and central thought. When all humankind were breathed forth into incarnation, when they departed from the heart of God and found they possessed free will, they used it like wayward children. As a result, they fell into the same mire of suffering. There indeed each one suffered, as you are still suffering. You have never completely served your contact with the heart of God. If you would progress to the heart of the mysteries of the cosmos, your way lies through meditation upon and realization of the still small voice, the God within. For all the mysteries of eternity lie within your heart. No book can teach you, although in books mental stimulus can be found. Wisdom comes through the heart. Therefore, as your prayer says, be still and know that I am God. Yet to know God, you must learn to live more abundantly. You must savor life to its fullest. It takes a God to know a God. and the person who can witness sordid and even terrible human conditions, who can feel with those who endure such conditions and enter into their suffering, who can see in the most depraved person something lovable and human, who can see God in the worst of us, comes close to understanding the mysteries of creation. So, although it may seem difficult at first, we suggest that you share the joys and sorrows of your companions, and while maintaining your own poise, cry when they cry, laugh when they laugh, be one with them. You will be amazed at what they have to teach you. Don't shrink from contact with humanity, but try to see the beauty beneath the coarseness and crudity. You must be at one with human life and never hold yourself aloof from it. At the present time, there is a great help being sent to humanity. The human spirit is being quickened by an inflow of power and light and love from beyond. A great impetus sweeps humanity. Some of you have experienced initiation and know that it brings an expansion of consciousness and gives a vision of the future and a desire to live in such a way as to become attuned to the spirit, so that the soul may more quickly enter the kingdom of heaven. Yet the average human being remains unconscious of the spirit works that interpenetrate physical life. A heavy curtain obscures human vision, so that, unable to register the spiritual, men and women are only conscious of things which they can contact through their physical senses. True clairvoyance is truly clear vision. This does not necessarily mean the seeing of forms of another plane of life. Clairvoyance can be vision into the heaven worlds, absorption of the mysteries of the spiritual life. Clairaudience can also be clear understanding, clear hearing, not in the solar plexus, but in the heart center. In the physical forms of manifestation which we know can be made from the disembodied state of life, the lower triangle, as it is called, is used, the three lower chakras. But in the true clairvoyance and clairaudience that develop under direction of divine will in the individual, the three higher chakras, the higher triangle, which is the heart chakra, the throat, and the crown of the head. So, beloved children, the purpose that should be before you is the gentle and natural development of these three higher chakras under direction of the divine will. This development is helped by continual meditation. As we have said on other occasions, meditation is most perfectly practiced when it is possible to withdraw from the material life and enter a sanctuary or a monastery. This is what happened in the days of old, when the candidate was separated from the world, was unfolded by, and was protected by the spiritual life. There are many people on earth today who, forgetting this, expect a demonstration of spiritual clairvoyance and clairaudience in a public meeting. They do not understand that in such conditions the vibrations become tangled and there can be misinterpretation of the message which comes through. To return to meditation, it is good to make a habit of not dreaming your way through life, but of becoming very conscious at all times of this divine will and this divine presence in the heart. Its reality is more easily realized when the candidate trains him or herself to be tranquil in mind, to control the emotions and direct them wisely, not to repress them, but to raise them onto a higher plane of love and service and kindness. Clairvoyance, clear vision, means far more than seeing spirits. It means seeing spirit, the spirit of God, of Christ, in your brother and sister, It means penetrating the mists of materiality and earthliness and going through from the world into the heavenly states of life. Penetrating your vision beyond the earth plane to other planets in the solar system. You are all quite unaware of the immensity of the unfoldment which will take place in yourselves. You are impressed by scientific discoveries in this new age, but that is nothing in comparison with what is coming in spiritual evolution and unfoldment of the spiritual gifts within the human soul. We are slowly instructing you step by step how to unfold these psychic or soul powers. It is pioneering work, dear brethren, but the development of these two aspects, the healing of the soul power of clear vision, clairaudience, and astral travel, and the awareness of many more beautiful levels of life, can only take place when the solid and perfect foundation is laid. The foundation of spiritual brotherhood, spiritual life. If you object to the word spiritual, we will say a true life, a life which shines with truth. Truth is the liberator. When men and women have found it, they will no longer be bound by any mortal thing. As the Master Jesus taught, the way of love is the way of power. The way to control the forces on these lower planes of life is by love. It is the only way. Though certain humans try other methods, they try by force. So as long as you allow love to fill your heart and mind, you will be able to control and govern all the lower forms. This is why it is essential to be kind to animals, to control them by love and not by the whip. On the mountaintops in Tibet, in the great silent places of the world, can be heard the swelling music, the divine orchestra of God. But this comes to the individual who has had the courage to find him or herself. Meditate on the sacred Om. The word has a certain tone, and when you find or strike that tone, you will feel the pulsation through your soul. You will no longer wonder whether there is afterlife or if there is such a thing as heaven. If you once strike that note or sound the sacred word, you will have contact which will be complete. And on that note, the whole of creation will come into harmony. And so it will feel as though the bees, flowers, birds, running water, winds will all join into the grand universal music. You will never get true spirit-to-spirit communication on higher planes until you have found this note. And when you understand this, then you are a medium indeed. We hope that when you listen to our words, you will be able to give and receive a magical communion of spirit. Because communion must be mutual. To receive in fullness, you must give in fullness to those of the spirit world who come to talk with you. With this perfect blending of love, there comes the gift of communion. And this brings to the participating a fragrance of spiritual beauty, which in turn inspires the life of the individual with peace. This is why we always advocate simple brotherhood to you all. Simple loving human companionship. A recognition of God's beauty in all the manifestations of nature. The same sweetness fills your soul when you come to spiritual communion in that higher self, in the temple above. Can you anticipate anything more lovely than the beauty of nature, the grand panorama of natural beauty on land, on sea, and in the sky? All these things awaken and quicken the God in you. The things of communion are the true, the real, the eternal things, and the confusion and chaos now reigning upon earth should be outside your consciousness. The power of the Christ love cannot be overcome. We want you to remember that no enemy can break through the circle of light which you, by your own will and aspiration, can cause to be created around you. The red rose, of which we so often speak, symbolizes the gift of divine love to God's children revealed in the Christ. It symbolizes His graciousness, His enduring service to all. For He will not depart. He will not pass onward into the spheres of light which are prepared for Him and for you also until every child of God is gathered into the fold. This may seem old-fashioned phraseology, but does it not comfort you to know that all the children of God will someday be caught up in the aura of the divine love? Then shall earthliness pass away, and this dark planet, as it is known in the spheres of light, will have served a splendid purpose in the great plan. For more information on White Eagle, please go to whiteeagle.org, the webpage for the White Eagle Lodge in Hampshire, England. The music for this episode was the 741 Hertz Solfeggio Frequency of Awakening Intuition. There are links to all this on the site, specifically on the music credits page and the Delicious links, which can be found on the Directory of Law of One sites page. And now Deborah with Think on These Things.
With the arising of rebellious forces, the body has assumed the attitude, I will break over this time, and the next time I won't. I will eat this because it pleases me at the present. I will take this for I don't want to suffer right now, and next time I won't. This has been done until self loses such holds on self as to become in a matter the slave to self's own indulgences in mental, physical, and material things. These conditions, then, require that there be made by self a definite stand to be taken. That is, if there is given me a definite program to follow, I will. I will. I will adhere to it no matter what I may suffer, mentally or physically. I will trust in the divine forces innate, within my inner self, for the strength to endure, for the ability to say no when I should. Edgar Casey reading 9/11-7.
That's all for now. Love and light to all.